Since chapter 25 is a longer chapter, I have broken it into two parts. This is part 1 of chapter 25. Wings of Chaos. Chapter 25. Dicey Onions. The kobolds shook in their stooped, bowing positions. Awkwardly, Shale and the others kneeled. Keelan planted one knee in the mud, but kept his chin raised to the ancient black dragon. The dragon grumbled and turned his massive head to Snapjaw, and the lizard man looked up.
"Why have you bothered me with these people?"
Snapjaw stuttered his response, getting to his feet.
"Your Highness, we found these people wandering through our swamp. They claim to be in the cult. I thought you would want to meet with them."
The dragon looked at each of them and growled.
"I call you bootlickers because that is all your kind is good for."
Have you come to bring me more gifts, bootlickers?" They all nervously glanced at one another, unsure of who should speak. Philip, looking startled, quickly pulled out a bag of coins and set them on the ground.
"We've brought gifts, Great Dragon. We've come to sign up with your organization and gain your favor."
"My organization?"
The dragon's throat rumbled with discontent.
"There is nothing to sign up for, little half-elf. I don't recruit your kind."
He paused, and Philip looked confused.
"Though your kind has certainly tried to recruit me."
Shale spoke up quickly. "Great Dragon, we had not expected to meet you yet, but we're on our way to the castle in the swamp." The dragon stared at her for a long moment, then began to move, pulling the rest of his massive, scaled body out of the river and onto solid ground. Mud and water rolled off his black scales, and kobolds immediately ran forward with hard-bristled brushes, scrubbing them clean. The dragon ignored them, moving his face uncomfortably close, his hot breath pervasive. Shale heard Keelan gag from the stench of rotted flesh, and Shale held her breath, meeting the dragon's golden-eyed gaze firmly, though her heart was thumping furiously in her chest, and her stomach was twisting in knots.
"I haven't seen any of you around," the dragon finally said, inspecting them like ants at his feet. "Tell me truthfully, what is your stance on the cult?"
He said the last word with a hint of impatience. Whisper stood, drawing his attention, and raised his paws. The tabaxi said something in Draconic. Ozurin translated under his breath, something Shale was continuously grateful for.
"He's apologizing for disturbing the great dragon. He says he's here on behalf of Sandmaster, offering lichdom to the dragonfolk."
"Speak for all to understand,"
the dragon said, overhearing Ozurin's translation. Lichdom, Shale wondered. What was that? She made a mental note to ask Ozurin about it later. Whisper nodded and continued in his almost fluent common.
"We are here to help you."
The dragon studied him and said,
Sandmaster. That is a name I haven't heard in a while. I don't think you have the position to offer me that."
Whisper slowly reached into his bag and held out Asvara's spellbook.
"Is this enough to convince you?"
he asked.
"The spellbook of a red wizard of Thay."
The dragon leaned his giant head nearer to study the book.
No, it's not. But I see that you are indeed a practitioner of magic."
He thought for a while, a deep thrumming vibrating through his throat.
"Perhaps you can be of some use to me."
He paused again.
"I'm not convinced of your allegiance with the cult. It seems to me that you are lying." "However,"
he said before any of them could object,
"that is what I want, for I am not fond of them myself."
Philip bowed deeply.
Honestly, we came here to gaze upon your splendor. That is our reason for coming through the swamp. Now that I can believe, he hummed. Some of my dragon brethren have fallen for the cult and their lies, but not me. I do not need their lowly offerings. The world is mine already. I couldn't agree more, Philip said carefully.
The dragon seemed to appreciate the flattery.
Now then, to your deeds ahead. The cult does have something I desire, and I want you to retrieve it.
So you do not have the whole world? Whisper said.
What can we find for you? Philip said loudly over the tabaxi. A ring, he said, shifting back into a somewhat less threatening position, though the beast could still easily bathe them all in blood within seconds. Yes, a ring rumored to be carried by one of the cult leaders in the castle. And a book. A great and ancient book. Perhaps, he sighed, his breath unbearably warm, sending the kobolds and lizard people quivering anxiously. Perhaps we can make a deal, little bootlickers.
We can retrieve those items for you, Shale spoke up. With the help of your followers. She gestured to Snapjaw and the other lizard folk. The dragon turned his head and Snapjaw nodded quickly, nervously.
Yes, of course.
The dragon turned back to them.
Good, he growled. And if you fail...
He paused, his golden eyes piercing them.
You will be eaten.
Fair enough, Shale managed to say, clearing her throat. What, may I ask, is your name?
You.
He breathed again, his massive chest expanding as he said.
Can call me the Black Death.
The dragon backed his massive body back into the river.
Goodbye, bootlickers. Find my treasure for me.
Then he slowly dipped back beneath the surface of the murky water. The kobolds all stood immediately and began screeching and chattering as they ran, hunched after the dragon. They saw the water ripple and move downstream, the kobolds close behind and disappearing into the gnarled trees. Keelan stood slowly, and they all looked at each other in shock.
We're alive, the paladin said in surprise. I think I shit myself, Philip said, looking down.
Snapjaw and the other lizard folk told them it was another half-day's journey to the castle. Ozarin told Snapjaw they would have appreciated a warning that he had called the dragon, but the leader shrugged his scaly arms and said in Draconic,
I knew you were too eccentric to be cultists.
They walked for another hour through the marsh, Snapjaw telling them about the numbers living in and around the castle. There were approximately 150 bullywugs, half that many lizard folk, and at least 24 cultists. When asked, he guessed the ring the dragon wanted was carried by Dromor Borngrey, the elf who was second in command to Resmir. They asked Snapjaw if he knew any of the poisonous plants growing in the marsh, and he sent a herbalist out to find some, the lizard man returning a short time later with a bag full of poisonous plants, which Philip pocketed. They reached an embankment, where a few lizard folk ran ahead and began pulling reeds from a group of 5 canoes. The fog had cleared somewhat as the day progressed, though there was still a heaviness to the air. Shale could smell the salt of the ocean breeze.
We will take the river from here,
Snapjaw told them, and they added their boat to the river, throwing the crate into the water and shouting, Hokey! The lizard folk were rather impressed by the boat, as half of them boarded, Philip joining Snapjaw in a separate canoe to convince him further for actions against the bullywogs. Trigger was excited to hop onto the boat and curl up on a wooden bench next to Reverence, the soft breeze pushing through the hair of his muzzle as they began to move. They paddled up the slow-moving river for several hours, Keelan and Shale pushing the oars through the water in a rhythmic pattern that allowed her thoughts to drift back to what Whisper had said.
Lichdom? Why did that seem familiar? And what did it have to do with Asbara's book?
As she thought about it more, she tried to remember any mention of the name Sandmaster, and recalled their conversation with Laosin and Omthar, just before they gave them the boat and sent them to Baldur's Gate.
The monk sat with his hands folded on the table as he recounted the origins of the cult. It started with a wizard named Sandmaster, who was obsessed with the power of dragons. He wrote an ancient text claiming if the dragons were to be killed and resurrected, they would become immortal. Resurrected. Undead dragons. A powerful necromancy. Her hands shook suddenly, and she ground her teeth together, looking across the boat at Whisper, who was lounging with a book open in his paws. Then she remembered something else. Something Whisper had said after Laosin told them about the necromancer of old. Dracoliches. He'd seemed excited at the prospect. Lichdom. Finally, she was piecing it together, piecing Whisper's actions into a coherent story. As they continued to paddle, she planned her next move, her eyes constantly going back to the tabaxi wizard. They brought their boat and canoes to shore and greeted a small outpost of more lizard folk. Snapjaw introduced their group as new recruits to the cult, and they were allowed through. They picked their way through the trees and marsh for another few minutes, and soon saw the castle looming in the fog. In the fields around it, the trees had been cleared, and they walked through a grouping of large huts that had been built up out of the mud and had finely woven reeds as roofs. As they walked further, they saw to their left a jumbled mess of smaller, misshapen huts with crumbling roofs and surrounded by churned mud. In the mud lay the fat bullywugs with greenish, warty skin crusted in mud and thick, bulbous eyes that gazed lazily over the camp. There were at least 40 of the bullywugs, and at least a dozen frog people double their size, leaping around the huts or burrowing in mud. The castle itself was large and looming in the marsh. The ancient stone structure built well enough to withstand the wet ground and salty sea air. It was 3 stories in height, with 4 large round turrets outlining the rough rectangular shape of the entire structure. They came upon the castle from the south, where they could see a stretch of muddy ground, creating a small land bridge, and fortified with a stonework bridge placed atop and leading to the front gates. A guard tower stood 2 stories tall by the outer wall, and a bullywug stuck his head out of the top window and watched them approach. Shale saw also the dull glint of metal in the afternoon light, and noticed a dome created with interlocking mechanisms in a portion of the top story. She nudged Ozarin and asked him what he thought it was. "An observatory, maybe?" he said, eyeing the impressive structure from afar. "Reverence," they heard Keelan say, and they all turned to see the tiefling had stopped walking and was clutching his chest, staring off at nothing.
"He's having another vision," the paladin said.
The lizard people gave them their space as they stepped toward the monk and watched him. His expressionless face quickly turned pained, and his orange skin went pale. His body seemed to go rigid.
"This isn't like the other ones," Shale said nervously, watching him. "Keelan, can you see if he's okay?"
Trigger yipped and ran to the tiefling, looking concerned. Keelan nodded and started toward Reverence. The tiefling started to groan in agony. Ozarin threw up his hands and shouted, "Dispel!" then grabbed Reverence's shoulders and shook him, forcing his hand from his chest.
"It's calling,"
Reverence said, teeth grinding and eyes still blank as Ozarin clutched his wrist. The smell of burning flesh filled the air, and they saw the front of the tiefling's robes were burning away, revealing a small amulet. It was a tiny skull statue with glowing ruby eyes. Philip tried to grab the amulet, but it had buried itself into Reverence's flesh. The monk began to gasp, his breaths labored and his eyes still lost. Whisper conjured a floating spectral mage hand and tried to wrench the amulet from his chest to no avail. Then the tabaxi stood to his full height and raised 2 paws, glowing with purplish energy and bathing Reverence in their light. The tiefling shuddered, and the amulet was expelled from his skin and fell to the dirt, the ruby eyes going dark. Reverence teetered and collapsed, but Philip and Keelan caught him. Whisper immediately bent to swipe the amulet from the ground, but Philip kicked it and sent it into the long grass. Whisper stood and flicked his ears, then ran after it and pocketed the tiny skull and chain. Philip shook his head and looked back at Reverence, who was unconscious where they'd lowered him to the ground. Then he gasped and awoke suddenly, grabbing at his chest for the amulet and looking confused.
"Reverence?" Ozarin said as they helped him to his feet. "Are you all right?"
Reverence inspected his burned robe and flesh underneath and saw the amulet was missing, turning his glare to Whisper without hesitation.
"Did you have another vision?" Keelan asked.
Finally, he nodded, tearing his gaze momentarily from the tabaxi.
"Saw the fortress, but newer? There were dragons flying around it, and a voice saying, 'Now your first installment will be collected.'"
"Where did you get that amulet, Reverence?" Shale asked. He shook his head.
"I can't say."
Snapjaw walked closer to them and spoke in Draconic, and Ozarin nodded. We shouldn't delay here. Come on.
I'm all right,
Reverence was assuring Keelan, who patted his arm. The tiefling was still pale, recovering from a great shock. Shale knew that when the monk was strong enough to get his amulet back, he wouldn't hesitate. Snapjaw introduced them to the front guards as initiates of the cult, and they were led through the front gates along the stone bridge, which continued into a covered hallway lit by dirty oil lamps. They eventually entered the open area of the castle. In front of them was a forge being worked by several lizard folk, crafting amateur weaponry who looked to enjoy their labor. The bullywogs seemed to be the castle guards, but they were lazy and always had trails of flies buzzing around them, which they would occasionally catch with the quick snap of a long pink tongue in the air. The main area was an open courtyard where they could look up and see the three-story turrets and open sky, allowing the growth of vegetation and an unkept garden inside. To their left stood two average-sized guards in black robes, wearing bone masks to cover their face, their first proof that the cult was there. They saw more lizard folk passing by with straw mattresses and bedding. The castle was massive and hid its numbers well. When the two robed guards noticed them with Snapjaw's men, one of them said, "Hey, who are you?" It seemed their kind were not common visitors of the castle in the marsh. Whisper turned to them and said, "Shut up." The guard who'd spoken looked at his friend, then tightened the grip on the pommel of his sword. "What'd you say to me?" Snapjaw raised a placating hand and said,
"Sorry, sir. New recruits going to be outfitted."
The guard stared for a moment through his mask. Then his hand relaxed and he nodded, still watching them pass. Snapjaw quickly ushered them into another door next to the forge and showed them to a flight of twisting stairs.
"Bed chambers are upstairs. We can plan there."
They all nodded and ascended the stairs, no one noticing for the moment that Whisper had not followed. Whisper started toward the guards, ears twitching, until he was 10 feet from them. They were both a foot shorter than him, and he stared at them with contempt. The one who'd spoken before said, "Recruit, I thought you said you were going to get outfitted." His friend tensed, looking prepared for a fight.
"I am here to see Resmir," Whisper said in a level voice.
"I thought," the guard repeated, "you were going to get outfitted." Evidently, the man had not taken well to being told to shut up. Whisper reached into his bag and pulled out a spellbook, showing the leather front to the guards.
"Take me to Resmir."
They both looked at it, and the talkative one said, "That's a book. What am I supposed to do with that?" Whisper glared.
"Is Resmir here?"
"She could be. Could be working." He tucked the spellbook away.
"She is always working."
"I mean she's out," the guard said flatly, then added, "Recruit."
"Do you want to die?"
Whisper asked, tilting his head threateningly. The guard scoffed and looked at his friend, who was still tense. "Go get outfitted," he told the tabaxi, stepping back to the wall where they were flanking a doorway. Whisper turned to leave, then flicked a paw and summoned his mage hand. The large hand flew at the guard's face and ripped the bone mask free. The man cursed in surprise as his pale, freckled face was revealed, and he went for his sword. Before he could charge the tabaxi, Whisper summoned a flaming sphere which rolled into the man and caught his robes on fire. The man shouted and started to pat out the fire, and as Whisper moved the sphere at him a second time, he and his companion ran at the tabaxi with their swords. Whisper threw up his shield spell instead, and the blades glanced off the magical force field. As they tried to pierce the shield, he brought the sphere rolling behind them, and it slammed into the first guard. The man screamed in agony as he was engulfed quickly by flames and collapsed, skin blackened and smelling.
"Do you want to die next?"
the tabaxi asked the other guard, who had paused to see his companion burn up in a matter of seconds. Whisper could see his wide eyes through the eye holes in the mask as he raised his sword again, taking a fighting stance, and said, "You're gonna die for that." Then he swung ferociously, and instead of using a shield, Whisper's paws started burning with white fire, and he shot the flames into the man's face. He screamed and grabbed at his mask, throwing it off. He dove under the flames and sliced into Whisper's ribs with his sword, then jumped back. "Help!" the guard shouted as he stumbled back, his face badly burned. "Someone help! We're being attacked!" Whisper could hear some muddled bullywog croaking, but the lizard folk seemed to have steered clear of the fight as soon as it started. Philip rushed to the arrow slits in the lizard men's bedchamber and looked down in the courtyard where they heard the shouting. "Damn it," the druid said as everyone else ran forward to check. "Did anyone notice Whisper is missing? He's killing cultist guards."
"Why?"
Shale demanded, peering out.
Oh, damn it, she repeated. Our cover's blown. Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, visit my blog linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening.